Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome you to worship on this, the fourth weekend of Advent. A reminder, as I always do for those especially listening, watching online, the bulletin for this service can be found on the Resources tab of the homepage of our website, and that website is chapelofthecross.org. And you also may give your offering to the Lord in His church through the Give tab on the homepage of that website, or you can just mail your offering into the church office. That would be fine, too. A couple of things for you to know before we begin worship tonight. We are preparing for our Christmas Eve and our Christmas Day worship services. We will have three worship services on Christmas Eve this year, 3, 5, and 10:30 p.m. And then worship on Christmas Day will be at 10 a.m. It's important to call the church office to register your attendance if you will be attending one of those services. We ask you to do that. We want to make sure that we stay within our occupancy restrictions for those special services. For those who are unable to come to Christmas Eve or Christmas Day worship services, we will record those and then post that recording on Facebook and YouTube and our website as well. And our radio broadcast today on KFUO AM 850 is sponsored by Nancy and Mary Lee Couric in memory of the wedding anniversary of their parents, John and Mary Couric, who are married on Christmas Day. May God bless you as we worship this day. We begin by listening to our opening hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. For those using their hymnal at home, that's hymn number 357 in Lutheran Service Book. We stand. We begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Advent candle burning bright through the night, shine your light of hope, telling people everywhere, soon the Savior comes, soon he will be here. People gather and prepare in the night with the light of hope.
Advent candle burning bright, bright with the night, with light of days,
all days telling people, soon the Savior comes, he will be
The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Strengthen your gift of faith in us, and keep us by your power to be your own. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading is from 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. After the king was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all of his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." That night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of the rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. And I will provide a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people, Israel. I will also give you rest from all of your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is from Romans, the 16th chapter. St. Paul writes, "Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
You know, everybody loves a great story. I know I do. And today's gospel story about Mary, that is an exceptional story. There's angels, announcements of a miraculous birth, everything you could want in an exceptional story. There's just one slight problem. This story is not actually about Mary. It may seem like it is all about Mary, but just like all of Scripture, this is a story of her and our Lord, the Savior Jesus Christ. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is one of the best known women in the history of man. And this is especially true if you're a believer and a Christian. Her story is well known, the teenage girl who becomes the mother of the baby in the manger. Some Christians honor her as special, and in many ways, she is special. And while the gospel is about the Annunciation of Mary, she is really not the focus of our story today. To a tiny town in Galilee called Nazareth, our Heavenly Father sends his angel Gabriel, the mighty one of God, to deliver glad tidings to a young, engaged woman named Mary. What do we know about Mary? She is from the house of David, we know that. She was a virgin betrothed to another man named Joseph, who is also from the house of David. Mary lived in Nazareth, a remote town in a remote corner of the country. In fact, in the book of John, Nathanael has this to say about the town. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? The town had no reputation for religion or learning. In fact, the nickname for the area was Galilee of the Gentiles because of its location near the border of the heathens. But that did not stop the messenger of God from delivering his message.
Angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored, for God is with you. You shall bear a child, and his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High."
Gabriel surprised Mary with his message of good tidings. "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." As Lutherans, we tend to forget just how special Mary was. She didn't think she was special, and she, like many others who have received a message from our Heavenly Father, had every right to be afraid because of our sinful natures. But our good and gracious God knows that Mary is a woman of strong faith and is one who is, in fact, looking for the coming of the Messiah. Gabriel's words, "You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." This is Gabriel's salutation, a signal to Mary that the news that he is bearing is wonderful news. And this isn't news from next door or from Jerusalem. This is news from God above himself. Good news, a great joy for all, for Mary, for me, for you, for all of mankind. She is blessed above all women by the honor that is being given to her. This blessing of God does not mean that she doesn't have the same problems that we do. She still, like us, has to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. What this does mean, however, is that all the descendants of the house of David, Mary, a teenage girl from a backwater town, was chosen by God for this important task.
And Mary said, "I am the servant of my God. I live to do your will."
Mary is, of course, confused. She's wondering how this is going to come true because Mary is engaged. And unlike today, where engagements are made and broken with impunity, in Mary's time, engagement was binding. She didn't have a doubt about what the angel was saying or whether it was true, but she does kind of wonder, how is this going to happen? And Gabriel answers that the Holy Spirit will come upon Mary. Gabriel concludes the statement with these words that we should all remember, for no word of God will ever fail. This is news that requires a true faith in the messianic prophecy of a Savior born to a virgin. She has to believe that this is true. Mary never thought it would be her, however, that would receive this honor, because Mary did not earn this great favor and honor. The reason we honor Mary is because our God, our Father, chose to honor her himself. And once Mary understands Gabriel's message, she demonstrates great humility. Instead of being proud and bragging, "Ooh, I'm going to be the son, the mother of the Messiah." No, Mary understands, just as Luther proclaimed centuries later on his deathbed, that we are all beggars, and this is true. And we are beggars, and our Heavenly Father, through Mary, has our perfect solution for our situation, in a child that Mary will deliver and lay in a cold manger. The ultimate answer to our poverty of sin. The final sacrifice to free us from sin, death, and the devil. Mary is not told of the details of how this will be accomplished. She, like us, depends upon faith that God will do as he has fulfilled in his way, in his time. "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be according to you," is what she replies. Mary, a poor teenager, shows us how we should answer when God calls upon us. Not with questions about, "Why me?" or, "I don't have the skills for this. I don't know how to do that. I can't get there." We, like Mary, should take God's call to us, whatever it is, with the faith of knowing that whatever task God gives us, he will give us the tools we need to carry out his message and his mission and his calling. But this miracle of the world, our Savior, this is also Mary's son. And it is Mary who will carry the Savior for 9 months. It's Mary who, on Friday when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, it is Mary who will go through the pains of labor that every woman on this earth that has brought life into this world goes through. And it is Mary that in 33 years will watch her son die on the cross to save her and us and the world from sin. We have no way of knowing if Mary understood her son's mission at first. Did Mary know, or did Mary think, as Jesus' disciples, and misunderstand her son's true calling? We know she knew enough about his calling to enlist his help at the wedding of Cana. But did Mary know her son would walk on water, would calm the storms with but a word, that her son would heal the blind and cause the deaf to hear? Did Mary know that even demons would recognize her son at sight? That her son had walked where angels walked? That her son's cradle was going to lead to the cross, and that that cross would lead to the grave? That her son would rise from the grave and ascend to heaven, returning to his Father? Did Mary know her son would heal the whole world of sin and death, including her? Did she realize on that Christmas morning that the child that she would deliver both her and us? And while we may not have the calling of Mary to give birth to the Savior of the world, do we not hear God's call when he wants us to help others through us? That tug when you see a brother or sister who is struggling and you have the means to help them. That tug when you don't want to volunteer for something at church like Vacation Bible School or teaching Sunday school, but then something makes you do it. You just feel that urge and you couldn't help it and you did it. And then when you're done, you find that it was not only fun, but you want to do it again. Or you reconciled with a friend that you haven't spoken to in a decade. You call them up and you get into a conversation and you find yourself, you're apologizing. And suddenly you're friends again. And you hang up the phone and you can't for the life of you figure out why you made that call. But you did. These are the calls from our Heavenly Father so that others can see Him through us. Just as the world saw God in the flesh during Christ's ministry, God still performs His works today through us. To a tiny town in Galilee called Nazareth, our Heavenly Father sends His messenger. And in doing so, He changes all our lives forever. Mary's cousin, Elizabeth, sums up what our feelings should be about this miracle. When Mary meets Elizabeth at the temple, John literally jumps in her womb, and Elizabeth utters some of the most famous words in history. Blessed are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And you know, the funny thing about that is, the only way Elizabeth could have known that her cousin Mary was carrying the Messiah is through the Holy Spirit revealing those wonderful news to her. And while Mary is blessed among women, the son that she will bear will be a blessing to all mankind, for you, for me, and for all who believe. The prophet Isaiah foretold, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give a birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. And we know Emmanuel is God is with us. The prophecy came to pass in a little backwater town in Palestine that no one cared about. To a minor member of the royal house of David named Mary. The last person and the very last place you would expect this great news to come from. And yet, this is exactly how God wanted it. As Handel in his wonderful cantata, the Messiah says, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Her son will rule forever. For now, in the Son of Mary, we have humanity and divinity with perfect and complete completion. True God, true man, our Lord and Savior. As I said in the beginning, every great story, and this is a great story, that has begun from the cradle and will end in an empty tomb. This is the greatest story of all time. And as we celebrate the birth of Christ this week, may the love of Christ keep and preserve you both now and forever. Amen.
We stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We praise you, O God. To you all angels cry aloud, and the Holy Church throughout all the world gives you praise. For you sent your Son to take on our human nature for our salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, direct the hearts of all who are in the authority of earthly governments to serve your will. May they promote justice for all, compassion for all who suffer, and liberty and freedom for all they serve. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, bless your word wherever it's proclaimed. Make it a word of power and peace to convert those not yet your own and to confirm those who have come to saving faith. May your word pass from the ear to the heart, from the heart to the lips, and from the lips to the life of faith in action. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Show mercy, Lord, to all of your servants who face illness or any adversity. Today, we especially remember Frank Lehner and Johnny Spears as he has surgery this week. We also pray for other friends and family members and loved ones who need your healing touch. Heavenly Father, we ask that you restore their strength and bless them with your healing power. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of mercy, calm the fears and ease the worry of those struggling with financial stress due to loss of employment or other circumstances. Remind them that your gracious provision and deliverance most often appears in unexpected ways. Sustain their faith and give them wisdom to pursue every opportunity that you open before them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we rejoice with those who celebrate special blessings. Today we give you thanks along with Fred and Joanne Fanson as they celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary this week. We also thank you along with Linda Mollering and Gordon Elmire, who are joined together in marriage this afternoon. Bless them as they begin life together as husband and wife. We praise you, Lord, for your good gifts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us ever to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. You may be seated. We now take and eat the very body of Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of your sin. And take and drink the very blood of Christ, shed for you and for many on the cross, for the forgiveness of all of your sin. We stand. Now may this eating and drinking keep and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in the Lord's peace and in his joy. Amen. We pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and the source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and our minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our closing hymn together, Come Thou Precious Ransom, Come.